Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 310. Well, Skydart and I are in Bloomington, Indiana, which is a great town, performing at the Comedy Attic this weekend, which is the 17th and the 19th, and then next weekend, Tacoma, Washington, the 24th to the 26th, and the weekend after that in San Francisco at SF Sketchfest. This is January 2013, in case you're keeping track or listening at a much later date. It's really cold here in Indiana. Not to the people who live here, of course, but we're from California, and our skin is made of phyllo dough. So we get cold really easily. And what do West Coasters do when they get into cold weather that they can barely tolerate? They talk about how cold it is all the time. If we run into you on the street, chances are one of the first four words will have to do with the weather, and that it's cold. And how do you live here like that? It's not even that cold here yet. It's like in the 30s. But something happens. You get outside, and then each second that passes that you're exposed to it, exponentially colder. So we apologize for being pretty much exactly like the Californian sketch on SNL, because we'll talk about weather, but then we'll really also talk about how we get places and what routes we take. That's true, by the way. That sketch is true. Huge legal thanks go to LegalZoom.com for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. LegalZoom is legal documentation that's inexpensive and simple. What do you need? Do you want to set up a business? Do you want to incorporate? Do you want to form an LLC? Do you want to leave your family, your stuff after you pass along? Sure, you haven't thrown it away. Why should you make them? Well, you can protect your family and your assets with LegalZoom for just $69. And the incorporation thing I was talking about, LLC, $99. They've saved hundreds, even thousands of dollars versus going a traditional lawyer who will give you some exorbitantly large fee or charge you a really high hourly rate. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and even more. And they even have attorney help if you need it through their legal plans. They are not lawyers, but they can help you. They can also give you step-by-step guides, customer support. It couldn't be much easier. Start your business, protect your family today at LegalZoom.com. You're going to get a special discount for listening to this podcast. Make sure you enter Nerdist in the referral box at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom, again, not a law firm, but you can get self-help services at your specific direction, or you can speak with a legal plan attorney to get your questions answered and ongoing advice. Thank you so much to LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. And it's Amber Benson. We've been pals for a really long time. If you listen to this podcast, there's probably a good chance that you've watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And if you did, you probably know that Amber Benson played Tara, who was very close to Willow. I don't want to spoil anything, but why haven't you watched that show yet? Because it's fucking awesome. But Amber and I have been pals for a little while, but never really sat down and talked at length. So it's always great to sit down with someone that you already like and get to know them and go, yep, I like you even more. I want to tell you, Amber Benson is a doer, and you should follow her example. This woman is a director, a prolific writer. She's got a bunch of fantasy books that she's written and more coming out, and she's a playwright. She's an activist, and just funny. And she has a really wonderfully inappropriate sense of humor, which I want to hug. So this was really, really, really great to have her on. And if you're not familiar with Amber, you should look her up on the Twitter. I believe she is Amber_Benson on Twitter, and she's great. So I have a feeling that you will enjoy this podcast. And if you're listening to it the day that it goes live, then Let this guide you into your weekend with the Nerdist Podcast, number 310, with the delightful Amber Benson.
You say everyone's delightful, Chris. That's because they fucking are.
What?
Nobody said that yet.
What are you talking about?
No one said that yet.
Am I yelling at air trolls again?
It's you. You are your own trolls.
Thank you. Fuck you, me. Don't feed the me.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
No, Nick works for Seacrest.
Oh, so he's not with us.
Nope. Well, he's with us. He's one of us.
He's with us in spirit.
Nick is one of us. He's just paid by...
Amber, nice to meet you.
He's just paid by a mad billionaire.
Is this too bright for you guys? I can turn it
off. It's okay, Nick. If you like it,
Nick just pointed to his own head. Is this too bright?
Yeah. Just get up.
Whatever you need. It's whatever you need.
Downward? Do you want a chair?
There's a chair right here.
Yeah, I was under the false impression it was like an audience situation, and it wouldn't be so
awkward. Well, it is. You'll be a...
No, it's not that awkward. Don't worry about it.
You'll be our audience. So you'll just have to... There was a show that had an audience of one.
And this is
was it the Alan Havey show? You're too young.
Oh, I'm too young for that.
Yep.
Sorry.
All right. At Night After Night with Alan Havey, Comedy Central, early Comedy Central?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, Amber, really? That's how we're going to start?
Yes.
that show that was probably on when you were hosting Singled Out.
It was actually pre-Singled Out.
When I was in elementary school? No, you're not that much older than I am.
That's true. We're a little bit, we're closer in age.
I'm 35, so.
Yeah, I'm a little bit older than that.
Wow, you guys are both really old.
So old were you, like 12?
29.
29?
Yeah.
Like an infant.
I'm coming up on 30. Here we go.
She means you're an infant. You look like a giant toddler.
I act like one,
He's
too.
Not wearing a diaper. That's all I'm grateful for.
We may be wearing a diaper.
We don't know.
Are
you going to go on the rampage, go across country in your diaper to shoot somebody?
I would love to do that.
Do you know why Matt would want to do that? Because that would mean he'd get to be an astronaut, which is his ultimate dream.
I just do that. I do the plan in reverse.
Yeah.
It didn't work
out. Okay, guys, I'm ready to be an astronaut. I shit my pants and tried to kill someone. No. That's not how that works.
That's all astronaut training is. Was it
Florida? Was she going
to
from
Florida.
Cape Canaveral, from Houston to Cape Canaveral? Right?
I think maybe it was to Florida.
It's the only two places astronauts go.
You know what?
Dolphin attack at SeaWorld.
Yeah, dolphin bit an 8-year-old.
Oh, Jesus!
I wonder if my mom was the nurse for that. I should text her.
Oh, that poor kid.
Don't worry. Dolphin teeth aren't that sharp. She's fine.
Oh my God! She must have had food in her.
And that's what happened to Tyra. She's afraid of dolphins too.
Oh, rightfully so, apparently.
Dolphins are very sweet. They will pull you around the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they will also try to bite and fuck you. But other than that, no problems. Dolphins are pretty cool.
There's like a website dedicated to that, right? So like dolphin sex?
Yeah.
Human dolphin sex?
Is that a subreddit?
That is a subreddit. Hey, look, this is what you do with a dolphin. Got your nose.
I don't.
Got your nose. I'm making the blowhole shape. Got your nose.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's what
so
happened.
Gross.
The 8-year-old played Got Your Nose with a dolphin, and the dolphin was like, "You're fucking giving me
your
my
nose." Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chris, got your blowhole.
It was a very serious situation you're making fun of. That girl probably has scratches on her arm.
Stop it. Dolphins are very. Dolphins are powerful. Dolphins are all just. They're all just muscles and rape. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't say that.
No. Nope. We're not recording yet, are we?
Oh, yeah, we sure are.
That's how we start the podcast every day.
Yep.
We don't tell the guests. We just start recording.
Well, we want them to feel comfortable. We just start having a conversation.
There you go.
About dolphin sex. With small children. Because, like, everybody loves that.
I feel overdressed for the podcast.
Yeah, you are nicely dressed.
Well, listen, I saw Skyfall 4 times, so.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Then you dressed up to see it.
You gotta wear a tie. I feel like I should wear a tie now all the time.
Wow.
Unless I'm drinking in the Caribbean.
You look good dressed this way.
Yeah, I know.
It suits you well.
It does. I feel
like when Annika came in to ask about wardrobe, you were like, "You gonna go to Brooks Brothers?"
Yeah, I asked her to go to Brooks Brothers for me. I have
the
a specific
skinny tie though. You're
yeah,
very,
you like
you're
that?
Very hip.
Yeah, it's plaid too.
You're Silver Lake, totally Silver.
You'd look good in a bow tie, Matthew.
You could pull it off.
We've been talking about it. I don't know. My problem is I can't tie one. That's my problem.
Good
fun. I made a video with Bill Nye.
Yeah, but you still can't tie one.
No, I can't. He moved way too fast.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a thing. Rich,
guys have it so much worse than women. I mean, how do you tie a bow tie? And then,
whatever.
Then that's it.
Whatever. I don't even go there. Just try. I just see you guys in underwire. That's gonna happen. Annie Roberts.
Thanks, Annie Roberts.
I would look good in underwire.
Be pretty sexy.
Right up.
You probably put in the.
The Angel Collection. Matt Myra for the Angel Collection. Just you and underwire and tiny little wings.
I'm in. I'll lip sync a Bieber song.
You can be the Victoria's Secret bowl captain. You could take the women into battle.
Come on, ladies. We're going to see Skyfall again.
They would love to see Skyfall again.
They'd want
to
see it once.
No. Daniel Craig's got a shirt off part of the movie. Yeah. Once on IMAX.
Okay.
And then three times regular. I went to a screening. And I was like, okay, that was a great screening. Thank you, Sony. Now I have to give the movie money because I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it. I saw it again, and then Thanksgiving Day, I was like, well, why not see it again? And then IMAX, I was like, I better see it on IMAX.
Wow. So you went to get a better seat.
I'll probably see it again, too. Jeez. I'll probably see it a fifth time.
Wow.
What?
God, nothing. I think that's
it's
nothing.
Like if I had the DVD at home,
did
I would
you see
be watching
Titanic
it.
Like 15 times?
I've never seen Titanic.
Really?
That's correct. It got to the point where I was like, screw you, Titanic. You're not getting my money. Here's what was out. At the same time Titanic was out, and you can look this up. It's a fact. Tomorrow Never Dies, which was my favorite James Bond movie at the time. That was out in theaters.
And Skyfall has bested Tomorrow Never Dies?
Well, Skyfall's very good. I don't think it's better than Casino Royale. I think
Casino Royale
good,
was really good.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I didn't love it, and I didn't hate it. It wasn't my favorite.
That's a glowing.
Yeah.
Glowing review.
It was enjoyable, but I wasn't like, I need to see this like again.
Maybe if you saw it three or four more times.
I might like it more.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I'm just not a Daniel Craig like lover. I mean, I like him, but I'm not like, take your shirt. Oh my God.
Well, I'm not either. I'm more like, I wonder what Tom Ford suit he's going to be wearing. That's what I do.
The metrosexual approach to James Bond.
He wears
films.
Three suits in the movie, you guys. Most of the time spent in that silver Tom Ford suit.
Do you own any of them yet?
No, Tom Ford suits are like $3,600.
Someday, Matthew.
Just that.
Someday.
Yeah, I think next year I'll get one.
What car does he drive in this one?
He drives the DB5.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of advertising happening in this movie.
Yeah, lots of Heineken. Heineken's the way to go, apparently. Mm-hmm. McKellen.
Yep.
McKellen Scotch, which now I drink all the time.
You're like a child with a grown-up's body.
Yes, we discussed this earlier. Grown infant.
No diaper.
On Blue's Clues, they had these orange shoes.
I do
shoes.
What Steve does. Steve wore a rugby shirt, so did I. Why not?
The world is your Blue's Clues now. Bond films are your Blue's Clues. And you can watch it every day, 5 days in a row.
Oh, it's so good.
Just like a child.
It's the same one over and over again.
Well, we're here to talk about Amber Benson,
we've really been. I thought you were joking.
No.
We really talked about dolphin sex? Oh, no. All
dolphin
right.
sex and James Bond.
My grandparents who are dead can't hear this.
Oh, you don't know that.
They might, but they shouldn't. Is what I'm saying.
Heaven's got a great RSS feed reader.
They really do.
I gotta stop saying Jesus. Stop it.
No, you can say it. That's fine.
I know I can say it, but I shouldn't. It's
we don't mind.
People like him.
Sure. Sure.
Well, I wonder when we first met a few years ago. Was it? I feel like it was around a Largo show or an M-Bar show or
the Thrilling Adventure.
Maybe it was Thrilling Adventure Hour. A few years ago.
I haven't been to any of your shows, but
no.
But I've been to things that you're around.
Oh, yeah, well.
or in, maybe.
Another glowing endorsement from Amber Benson.
Well, at least this puts me on the same level as Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
From a certain
you can't feel bad about
from
that.
A certain point of view, it does.
Oh, man. No, you were very good in the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Oh, thank
actually.
You. Thank you very much.
You do voices well.
I do. Well, thank you. Like, what if I annoyingly broke into, like, five... I won't do that. I'm not that narcissistic. But then you and I also had similar. Well, first of all, I'm a huge Buffy fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're a
Buffy
geek, huh?
Come on, fucking.
Can you say that? You just
Tara gets shot, and then Willow goes and.
Can I say cunt? Am I allowed to say?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't say Jesus, but you can say cunt.
But string it together, Jesus cunt.
That I don't. Half the people got
that's
mad.
My band name. Just FYI, that is what my punk band is. Jesus cunt.
Oh my God, that would have been a band. I'm sure that's a band somewhere.
That was the original name for the Jesus and Mary chain. It was Jesus and Mary cunt.
They're like, you know, I think we're going to have to swap out, put chain in there.
All right. So you like the Buffy.
Love the Buffy. Was
you
horrified.
You didn't call me Tara, though. That's good. Because sometimes people do that. They're like, it's nice to meet you, Amber Benton.
I have done that with people that I'm actually friends with.
Mm-hmm.
That with Steve Young, I accidentally called him Glenn.
Ooh. Oh, that's right. I saw that.
I was like, Glenn, Steve. Glenn, Steve, Glenn,
Steve, Glenn,
Steve, Glenn. But yeah, I was a huge fan of Buffy, and
it's like crack. It's a drug. Everyone has to acknowledge that you watch one and you have to watch them all.
Well, that's the thing. I came to Buffy after it had. I've told the story a million times. I used to live across the street from Joss when he was just sort of finishing up Buffy and then was getting into Angel.
I know where you lived.
Right up in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
And
I walked by your house
ages ago. I mean, this was years and years ago. This was the 1990s.
I probably saw you and didn't know it was you and waved.
But now,
now I don't know where you live.
Oh my God, we had that cross country adventure together. All of a sudden, all these memories.
Oh wow.
And so I didn't watch the show. I wasn't watching the show at that time. But a few years later, got to watch all 7 seasons just in a period. It took about.
Did you buy the box set?
2 months. Yeah. It took about 2 months and then got through it. And Buffy's one of those shows where the first 3 or 4 episodes, I'm like, all right, okay. And then that Halloween episode of that first season, I was like, oh, fuck. It just took a couple episodes. And as soon as Joss found it, it was on.
Yeah.
For 7 seasons.
Yeah. It's one of those shows that people like you get sucked into and then you can't escape. And it becomes part. It's part of the pop culture lexicon in a way that I think not a lot of shows are.
You know,
like it's like Star Trek or Star Wars. Like people, when they talk about Buffy, it's very much like in this like it changed my life kind of way.
Well, because I think a lot of it has to do with every once in a while, a show kind of sneaks through that has an authenticity to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's obvious that Joss is, although I don't know if he actually identifies himself as a nerd, but he is.
I think he would go in that direction.
But
sure.
He definitely speaks that, like, that's his language.
Yeah.
And you can tell when you watch, and the bank of references, and even the stylistic choices, and the things that he's pulling from and expressing are all like, holy shit, that's me. Like, he's pulling shit out of my brain.
Yeah.
And particularly at the time that came out, there wasn't really a lot of stuff that was doing that. It was like a whole, I don't know, he just sort of reset the curve for television. And like, here's a young, fresh approach to what, you know, a horror/comedy show could be.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many people have found it, like you, after the fact. And, like, young people, like 12, 13, 14-year-old kids come up to me, and I'm like, you were not alive when we did this. And now they're, you know, like, they're because of DVDs, and, you know, it's on TV all the time, and Netflix, and people are just, they're finding it, and it just lives on and on and on. It's like the gift that keeps on giving.
But
know?
Also, a pretty, I think, pretty cool that... That they didn't give him any grief about letting Willow have a relationship with Tara. And
well, we did. We weren't allowed to kiss for a long time. Like, and we got very upset about it. We're like, we want to make out, dude. Not fair. Like, Buffy and Spike are, like, having sex on the cemetery plot thing, whatever. We can't even, like, hold hands.
When Invisible Buffy was getting railed by Spike. That must have been a hilarious scene to shoot.
You were into that, huh?
That was just...
I know so much about you now.
You know.
Diapers and invisible sex. Your girlfriend must love you.
She did. You know what? She, my current, well, I have a different, the girlfriend that I watched Buffy with, we both watched it together. There was one scene that,
like, let's redo the invisible sex scene. You go.
I'll just go. She just left. But there was one scene, and I think it might have been a season finale, and it was the scene where Buffy and Spike first start hooking up,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe it was a Michelle Branch song that sort of plays. Like, it's sort of like, it's one of those montages where the couples are, like, shacking up. Now,
maybe there's floating involved, I think.
I think there were floating involved. Listen, and Michelle Branch, not my cup of tea, seems like a nice gal. I don't know.
Listen, she learned those 3 chords and she plays them.
Not my cup of tea. And so, I basically tried a bunch of different songs over that montage and determined that the best one.
You are a fucking nerd.
Shut up. You dick stain. You just saw Skyfall like 5 times.
I didn't try and make my own music for it.
You would. You would after you bought every suit, shoe, car, and watch in the movie.
I want to see your secret YouTube channel, the one where you do your own montages and you like.
That's not secret.
Guys, I thought the Michelle Branch song wasn't quite right.
Wait, what was
so
the song?
Here's what I.
What was the song that you found worked best?
Throwing It All Away by Genesis. It fits perfectly.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so glad there's a table between us. That's all I have to say.
It's so.
Wow.
Fit. Perfectly.
That's amazing.
Try, you know what? Berate all you want and then try it and be like, fuck, Hardwick's on to something.
Is this like Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz?
A little bit.
Is this what
oh
this
my
is?
God, you yeah. Got right out of my
Except with Buffy and Genesis.
Yeah, of course.
Meet oh, I see, man. I love you. Like, it's perfect. So my point is.
It makes me like you more.
Good. I appreciate that. So
you know what else works great? The In the Air Tonight to the Miami Vice montage. Never mind, forget it. That's just a reference to the pilot of Miami Vice.
Deep cut. Wow. Anyway, yeah, so my point is I was a huge fan, and I'm glad that they eventually came around on the network.
To let us make out. Yeah. Well, it was this episode called The Body, and we had, like, this crazy kiss that, like, Joss inserted in there because he knew that they would give him flack about it. So he made it, like, really intense. Like, literally, there's, like, a string of, like, saliva coming when we break apart, like, in, like...
Oh, right.
You know, yeah. And so the censors were like, no, cut it down, and it made it very, you know, kind of a little chaster. But you have to give them something to, like, you know, cut.
To cut, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I don't like that. Well, I'm going to take the bestiality scene out. The dolphins.
The Body is such a good episode.
Yeah, it is a really good
Buffy's
beautiful
mom
episode.
Dies.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, my God.
It's really so sad. Good. But, yeah, so, yeah, it took a while, and we were very adamant that we wanted to be, you know, wanted to have, like, a real relationship. And so eventually we did. I got to be in bed with Allison Hannigan.
Hey. I love real relationships with witches.
Me too. They do magic together.
It's so real, you guys.
I think I either, no, maybe I almost went to a, I feel like I almost maybe went to Allison Hannigan's prom with her.
What?
We were in an acting class together when we were both teenagers.
Just like Atlanta, right? Like.
No, this was in L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah. And she had already been working at that point. She'd already done My Stepmother as an Alien. And then she was out here. And, We were in a friend group, and it was so awesome to see her like go on and do amazing stuff because she's always been like such a sweet, cool person.
And you tried to go to her prom with her.
No, I didn't. No, I don't. I didn't.
You didn't.
I don't
That's
think.
A bummer. You should
have
gone with her.
I should have.
You should have said yes.
I don't think she ever. I don't know.
This
maybe
story
she didn't
is
ask
rife
me.
With holes. Just yes. because someone happens to be having a prom around the time you know them doesn't mean you almost went to prom with them.
I swear to God, I felt like she said I was going to ask you to my prom, but then I decided not to. Or like it was something like that.
She probably just didn't want your hair to look better than hers at the prom.
Well, back
those are the hair drapes. Story. Let's go to another story.
No, I think I should dig around until I find the essence. I think we need to get Hannigan on to. She's going to be like, nothing like that ever happened. What are you talking about? Don't paint yourself into my life. But also the other experience that you and I had that was very parallel was the publishing process,
yes.
The book writing process.
I've heard all about your trips to Penguin. My friend Anton Strout.
Yeah, Anton Strout. Great guy.
Anton is like my brother writer. Like we do signings, book signing stuff together. And him trying to, I think, explain like, nerd culture to all those Penguin people who mm-hmm. like are literary people. They're not maybe yeah. the most versed in nerd culture. And he's like the resident nerd. So he had to go in and kind of explain, like, this is what this is.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And then I think you came in and you were really sweet. And they're like, oh, we love him anyways, even though he's a big nerd culture guy.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, they were very nice. I mean, it's
yeah, they love you over there.
I adore them. They're very cool. Although I do see. You know, the book business is very it's very challenging, and they, you know, as you know, you kind of come in and you'll have a meeting with them, and the gist of the meeting is like they
the
say
gist of the meeting, what
the gist of the meeting is they bring in a dolphin and they just aim it at you.
Is this where you tell us you almost went to prom with Penguin Publishing?
I almost went to prom with a penguin.
It's
no,
be
that would have been Jonah.
Penguin soon, because they just are merging.
Oh, it is random penguin would be such a fun or Penguin
yeah.
House.
Penguin House.
But I like random penguin. I like random penguin.
That's a stinky house, the Penguin House.
Right? It smells so bad.
Oh, it's just fish and you know.
And yeah, it's fish poop and But they basically say to you when you go in, like, who do you know? And how, you know, what are you going to do to market this book? Like, their marketing department will say to you, like, you know, what, and they come up with some ideas, but it's basically,
it's a free for all. You have to kind of do your own. I found that you have to do it for yourself. Like, they will help you as much as they can.
Sure.
But you have to take it to the next level.
It's just funny how even though we assume that, oh, becoming a part of a larger machine means I won't have to do everything. But I think what I think what we know about the way commerce works now is that no matter pretty much no matter what level you're at, you really need to be a DIY person. Totally. No matter what.
Yeah. You have to be on social media. You have to be on Facebook and Twitter and Google whatever and Flickr and all of these things so that everybody can see every aspect of your life, because then they feel connected to you and then they buy your stuff.
Yes. What is so what how was your experience with the book?
No, it was great. I mean, like, I got to do some, you know, I do book signings. There's places that I've now, because I'm 5 books in to this series, like, places that are, like, my places to go when the books come out. Like, I'll hit Houston, I'll hit Murder by the Book, and Mysterious Galaxy in San Diego, and
Powell's? Do you ever get up to Powell's in Portland?
No, I haven't done that one yet. I love Powell's. Powell's is, like, my all-time favorite bookstore.
They would love you in Portland.
Yeah, they would love me in Portland, wouldn't they?
You should go.
I'm so Pacific Northwest. I made Annie laugh. I'm so happy. She's hard to make laugh.
No, Annie, you know what?
She's got taste. If she laughs, I know I was being actually funny.
No, but Annie is our mutual friend who works at E, and I've worked with her too. It's like she's hearing pitches all the time. She's working with people all the time. Like, she's constantly in a place where she has to analyze everything and figure it out. And so when that's your job, it's hard sometimes. I assume you're just constantly inundated with people like, here's thing that I need approval for. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to.
Does I still love Coco? Okay. They're an adorable couple. I'm not going to lie. That's on in makeup sometimes when I'm going on for G4, and it's just, I stare at it. I'm just like, oh, they love each other.
Well, then that
she
shows
wants to
airtight.
Have her eggs frozen, and he's not having it. Anyway.
Wow, this just went to a whole other place, didn't it?
She wants to put her
we
eggs
talk
on
about
ice.
Fertility.
Let's talk about fertility.
My dad wanted me to freeze my eggs. He actually looked into it. And then he came back to me and he's like, it's very expensive and they're not viable for very long. He's a psychiatrist and he says urinate instead of pee. Like, that is how he operates. Like, so it's not viable. So maybe that isn't an option for you. So you just need to get knocked up now. I was like, Jesus Christ, Dad.
So, yeah, because, I mean, I think, you know, years ago I had thought, oh, maybe I should freeze some sperm just to have it.
I was like, if you're going to freeze eggs, you're a different person than I thought.
I have both.
He's just like going up to random women. I'd like to freeze your eggs.
How would you? And it's late at night and I'm in the parking lot of a grocery store in a trench coat. It never worked. I don't know why it never worked.
He almost froze Allison Hannigan's eggs.
Yep. Almost.
I mean, he's pretty sure about that. He's got to check the story, but.
Yeah. I might have to see about that with her, but I feel like.
Put my Elliot hat back on.
Elliot.
I got my Elliot hoodie.
You do have your red Elliot hoodie. It's adorable. But freezing sperm, it only survive. I mean, it can survive for like maybe 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
Five or 10
Once
years,
again,
I think.
Men are like ahead of, you know, they get all the perks in fertility. It's not.
Well,
fair.
It's just with sperm.
You can have babies when you're like 70.
But you can freeze millions of sperm. But
how long will it last on a stomach?
Matthew.
3 days.
Okay. 3 days. But just a little personal experiment. What's the problem?
You know, after I threw. I'm a. I just went through with a little. There are millions of those guys. They don't go away.
We have fun here.
Oh my God! There's Betty White. She's looking at us.
I tried to freeze my eggs, but it turns out the freezer's empty.
What is this Betty White impression you just did?
Well, that's just my old.
That was Miss Daisy. That wasn't Betty White.
Hope, drive me to the fertility clinic. Now, Miss Daisy, you're too old to freeze your eggs, I've been telling you. We're not going to have that technology for 40-some-odd years.
Oh, my God, it hurts. Oh, it hurts.
Driving Miss Daisy to the fertility clinic to freeze her elderly eggs.
I smell a remake.
Oh, God.
At that point, do you think they're like the brown eggs that you get in the grocery store?
They're like quail eggs.
They're literally the size of quail eggs. They come out of her the size
huge.
Of quail eggs.
She just lays them everywhere she goes.
Miss Daisy, I found some quail eggs in the back seat again.
Oh, okay. I think I'm a giant termite queen. A pile of eggs have come out of me.
Oh.
I'm having contractions every 2 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord.
That's what that movie should have been about.
Yeah. It would definitely not have won her an Oscar if it was about that. If she was like a hooker who was going to freeze her eggs in the back of the car.
And then the director's like, the movie wasn't about that, but Jessica Tandy just started improvising this whole egg thing, and we couldn't tell her no. She's too old.
It was around the writer's strike, too, so they had to go with it.
It's not even that funny, but
you but are just, correct, Amber.
You just mean Jessica Tandy just on all fours in the back of a car and a pile of eggs.
La, 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 la.
No. You can't. The Smurfs theme isn't going to. It's not going to help you.
I'm fertility sperm. We have to.
Can we agree Hank Azaria's Gargamel was the worst?
One sperm does have to freeze all of Smurfette's eggs, though, because they have to repopulate somehow.
It's true.
You don't think she ever felt pressure? You don't think they just sideways glanced at her?
Do they have Smurf porn? That's all I've wondered.
There must be.
Well, they made like there are.
It's like a gangbang.
They're like
Smurfette's
blue. It's like
house.
Blue. Like you know, people paint themselves blue, like the Simpsons porn.
Oh my god.
There's a Smurf porn.
There's right. Simpsons porn. Oh Lord.
Did you see that?
No.
I think they tinted them in post.
What are you talking about? The Simpsons?
I think they tinted their skin in the Simpsons porn in post.
Oh.
Did they?
I think so.
It's like everything goes like orange.
What am I remembering then where paint is coming off of genitals?
Last weekend.
Oh. Fair enough.
Oh my god.
3 days.
But what else how did your books do? I'm trying to steer the conversation back.
They did well. The fifth one's coming out in the end of February, beginning of March. It's called The Golden Age of Death, and that's the end. And then I just signed to do a new series of books about witches in Echo Park.
Oh my god!
I'm very excited.
What's your writing process? How do you go from idea to final delivery of book? Like what are some good tips for young writers?
Good tips for young writers. This is a new segment on the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah, that would be a useful one rather than freezing Jessica Tandy's eggs.
We're not freezing
the debut album by Jesus Cunt.
Oh no. Good tips for young writers. Just write. Like I think so many times people like edit. Yeah, they're constant. Yeah, whatever that word is, in their heads, and they can't move past like a certain place because they're constantly, you know, second guessing themselves. And I think you just have to like sit down and sort of maybe vomit it out.
Mm-hmm.
don't look at the sperm when you vomit.
But your point is valid. People think that it has to be perfectly formed right when they put it onto the page.
It's all about rewriting.
You have to get it out. Yeah.
You have to rewrite. If you don't rewrite, then you're not. You know, very few people can sit down and write something and they're done in a first draft.
But fiction scares me because, you know, my book was very, very modular. Like all of the chapters are very self-contained. Yeah, and then, but
you were on the cover. It was very exciting.
Oh, the thing.
Were you on the cover?
I was on the cover. I
just wanted to talk about it some more.
I didn't want to be on the cover. I asked
them. They always want you to be on the cover.
I asked them. I said, you know, I had a friend of mine design what looked like a 1970s textbook, and they were like, no, you have to be on the cover because it's just
things.
But I was like,
women walk in and go, Daniel Craig or Chris Hart? Chris, I'm going to go for this is the book I want.
Well, that's never happened. But
women are intimidated by Daniel Craig's chest size. They're like, I need to go with
Chris. He's a very petite man, right? He's very short.
He's 5'11".
No, he's not.
Yeah, well, 5'10", 5'11" in shoes.
No, he's
yes,
not.
He is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Matt, yes, Matt could probably tell you like what the degree of his foot arch is. Yeah,
they lie on the internet.
Annie Roberts is looking it up.
They lie on the internet.
Annie Roberts.
I find that actors are the majority of actors are tiny people.
Well, they are.
I find them all to be weirdly tall. Is that just
really?
Yeah.
No, some of them. No. You know, but people.
Jeff Goldblum is weirdly tall. But
he's weirdly tall. I'm not super tall, but I'm not short. And but people, you know, like if I'm on The Soup or next to Conan, people are like, you're short. And I'm like, no, they're gargantuan.
You're what, 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'10". So not super short, not
that
super tall.
Remains to be seen. My question is 5'10".
It's 5'10".
One day, we'll figure it out. Maybe on a YouTube show.
All right.
Daniel Craig is 5'10"?
Yep.
All right.
Then you, and Matt's already looked that up.
I concede to you.
I have. Willing, you want to know how tall Connery was? He was 6'2".
How tall am I?
You're 5'7".
Oh, I like you. I'm 5'3 and a half.
I don't know. I didn't see you standing. I only see you in a chair.
But I can tell by your torso size that you are 5'7".
I have a tall torso. I have the torso of a 6'4" man and the legs of a tiny dancer.
Aw. Pull me closer.
That's adorable.
I think
it's important that people just get stuff out on the page and then they can form it. But the narrative fiction thing, who keeps track of all of your story points? Like if you change one thing later in the book.
Oh, I do. I have to be on top of it. And sometimes you mess up and it's nice to have beta readers, people that can look at it and go, oh, you know, like that guy's eyes are blue and now they're purple. How did that happen?
Right.
Because I was tired.
Do you have like note cards all over a room where you have story points?
I keep notes on like a document, a Word document, and I kind of know what's going to happen, and you know, and I outline everything.
Are you pen and paper, or are you all digital?
No, I'm all digital. I can't imagine sitting down and writing something by hand. That's a process, you know, or typewriter where you have to like, you know, white out and like that. Just like computers are so wonderful in that respect.
Yeah, kids, if you're using a typewriter, now's the time to let it go.
Yeah, your Smith Corona probably is not going to... Yeah.
You hear us, Hanks?
Where do you write? Where do you write? Do you write at home or do you like to go places?
I can't write at home because...
It's hard.
Because you have to treat like a job.
Yeah.
So I write at coffee shops. I have a group that I write with, actually. We're called the Shamers. We shame each other into working. And it's a...
Support structure. That's very smart.
Yeah, and it's like all chicks and one dude.
He's the Smurfette of your group.
He's the Smurfette of our group. And we, like, get together, and we're all working on different things. Like, some of us write books, some write screenplays, some write for TV shows. Like, everyone does different things, and we all sit together and sort of give each other shit if you're on Twitter too long. Oh, you're on Twitter again, Ember. You need to close that and do some work.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And they, like, definitely help me to, like, finish things because you're kind of forced to do the work and not dick around. You know.
So what do you think it is about you that makes you constantly have to be creating stuff and writing and
a natural fear of death?
Is that's a valid reason?
It is. I got into a whole talk about a whole thing. I did a panel. There's a woman I know, Sarah, who's a professor at UCLA, and she had me and a couple of people come and speak about YA fantasy and gender, and it devolved into like why there's a lot of escape in fantasy literature. And I was saying, well, it's because, you know, we're terrified of dying. So we want to, like, escape into other worlds where maybe there is no dying. Like, mm-hmm. fantasy, a lot of that is immortality, and you live on, and you have magical powers, and, you know, that's very appealing. Thanatophobia is a real disease. No, it's not a disease, but it is a phobia.
Sure. And then I think also a lot of the fantasy stuff, I mean, it just, in the culture that I grew up in,
Aboriginal culture.
The Aboriginals, yeah. We just like to put dots on things. I don't know. We would look at stuff and then he'd be like, oh, I think that needs more dots on it.
I need more dots.
Need more dots on it. Maybe some white dots.
Some didgeridoo action. You lost your virginity to like the didgeridoo.
To a didgeridoo.
Yeah. That's your song. Mm-hmm. Whatever you hear, you're like, oh.
And then I actually took that footage and put Michelle Branch over it.
I actually...
Now I'm picturing you having sex with a didgeridoo.
With a didgeridoo, yeah.
Not with somebody else while didgeridoo is happening.
Kids, didgeridoo don't fuck didgeridoos.
Yeah.
Oh, the baritonic hum of a... didgeridoo, really.
There's a lot of vibration. That could be really, like, potent, right?
But someone would have to be blowing into the other end is the problem.
Isn't that usually what happens?
I'm not people gay, but if I'm didgeridoo gay, so if a dude wants to blow a didgeridoo, we're not touching.
It's like a circle jerk.
It is kind of it's an Aboriginal circle jerk.
So
it's more of a line jerk.
So the culture that you grew up in was...
Nerd culture was not great, in the sense that
you're from the South like I am.
Yeah, but there was... you're from Alabama.
I'm from
that's
Alabama,
right.
And you're from Tennessee.
From Tennessee.
Right?
So there's no...
You're from Memphis. Right?
Birmingham.
Birmingham.
You're from Birmingham. I'm from Memphis,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so, we're fist bumping across.
Boom!
Yeah.
So there was no cool... it wasn't, like, cool, or there was no retro cool. It was just... You were just sort of outcast. And I think a lot of the fantasy that we enjoyed, a lot of the D&D, a lot of those fantasy elements were not that we were trying, not that we were afraid of death, but that we were just trying to escape reality.
The monotony
of reality, yeah. and the sort of numb predictability.
Narnia, you know?
Exactly.
I want to go to Narnia and hang out with Big Talking Lion.
Who doesn't want to roll dice and send your brain into some sort of a magical realm?
I never got into Dungeons & Dragons, but my friend Margaret and my friend Javi both do D&D, and I kind of want to, like, actually, a lot of my friend Sarah and her husband.
You weirdly,
I kind of want to do it.
You weirdly are into it because you write fantasy fiction, and so you
could role play me.
You could retrofit your stories into role playing games if you wanted to.
I wrote a series of books. Actually, I did it. There's this guy Christopher Golden. He and I did a thing for the BBC called The Ghost of Albion. It was like a flash animation web series, basically like 10, 11 years ago. Before it was like cool, and like Anthony Daniels did one of the voices.
Yes.
It was really awesome. But then we actually turned that universe, after we did the stuff for the BBC, we turned it into books for Random House. And then they did a role-playing game of it. So I have the book of the Ghost of Albion role-playing, like, and everyone's got numbers and, you know, powers. And it was really cool.
It's really cool. I think, do you enjoy math or statistics or probability or anything along those lines? Or chance? Do you like games of chance?
I do.
Then you would like D&D. It's all dice rolling and probability with a really nice narrative.
Russian roulette.
Russian roulette. That's my favorite game of chance.
The one with the gun. I started thinking about these old D&D games, like Boot Hill.
Boot Hill.
Boot Hill was the Western D&D. There was a Western. When D&D got popular, a bunch of other ones. There was like a space one, and then a Western mm-hmm. one, and mm-hmm. then an espionage one, and
the
you
one
know.
With the gun.
And then the one with the gun is just Russian roulette.
It's just Russian roulette. You drink white Russians while you try not to shoot yourself in the
That's
head.
Right. There's no dice rolling per se.
No, there's just chamber.
Well, rolling. It's chamber roll, yeah.
Yeah! We're so cool over here.
We are the coolest.
The
gun talk. Do you like guns?
I want to go shoot at a range. I don't know why. I kind of want
to.
Let's
do it.
I've
Let's
only
do it for
shot...
the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Do you know who owns a gun range? Who
Michael
owns a...
Rooker.
Michael Rooker has a gun.
Does he really?
It's not a range. It's like a fucking...
It's in the Angeles Forest.
Yeah, it's like a... He owns a gun forest.
Yeah.
And you can just go shoot guns out there.
Someone said, I think you can shoot it near the police academy in Elysian Park. Like, I think they have a range there. I'd like to do that.
There's one downtown. There's one in Burbank, too.
I go to the one downtown.
I've only shot... fake guns, like, you know, blanks and stuff for films, and it's always very intense and always kind of freaks me out. So I'd like to actually be comfortable with, wow, it just got dark outside.
Did a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I've only shot the, I shot an M16 at the Walking Dead.
No, oh, I remember
to
that
the Walking
video.
Dead,
really cool.
They had me, John Sanders.
Because that's how you kill zombies, with an M16.
It works.
Oh yeah.
As long as you get,
right,
as long as you hit him in the brain. You're good.
Right in the brain pan.
What are you watching right now? Do you have time to watch it? How do you find time to be a fan of things and still produce things?
Well, I don't have a television.
What?
Nope. I watch things on Netflix and Hulu, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I do watch.
Okay. That's,
but I haven't
that
had a
still
TV
counts.
For 2 years.
That still counts.
I was spending way too much time watching Forensic Files.
Great show. I'm not going to knock it for the room.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I was like, I got to stop watching dead people.
Matt, when you worked in a funeral home, did you ever play like Forensic Files and try to...
No. I would just try to put people back together nicely.
Okay.
Wow.
What's wrong?
No. It's awesome that you worked at a funeral. I mean, like, it's that therapy where you have to go and like touch the things you're frightened of.
Right.
Like a didgeridoo.
All right.
But yeah, no, I'm a fan of Louis. Like, I'm obsessed with Louis.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so honest and real. And the relationship he has with his daughters is very much like the relationship my dad has with my sister and I. Like, you love them so much, but you hate them so much at the same time. Like, I love you, but I'm going to punch you. But it's so real that parent-child relationship where you love your kids so much, but you see, you know, like they drive you up the wall.
Sure.
You know, because they're your children and, you know, you're responsible for them. But yeah, I love Louis and I like The Wire a lot too. That's really good. I don't know. I've really gotten into oh no, I can't say this. I've gotten into Rosemary and Thyme. It's a British detective show with two ladies who garden.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I've been watching a lot of
it's British. I'm sure it's fucking great.
It's repetitive and it's the same murder every time, but goddamn it, I can't stop watching it. I like clean with it on. And they find dead bodies in garden. Like, it's gardening. It's How can you make gardening a mystery?
Well, they have.
They have. For
a garden's a good place to bury a body. It's going to provide a lot of nutrients for the plants.
It's true. It's nitrogen rich.
Do they ever decide, like, well, actually, Mr. Forrester is really good for all of these herbs we're growing.
He's super good for all the perennials. yeah.
Strip off his knickers and put him in
They're
the
always
dirt.
Dead in the garden. Like, there's always a dead body in the garden. I was like, God, you guys, I just wouldn't want you near my garden. I don't have a garden. But
or if you lived in that city and you were a halfway fucking smart constable, you would just stake out the gardens always.
Yeah, I go where the gardens are. I'm always where the gardens are. That's me.
That's a good. I think we need to go down to the Arboretum and.
Oh, we go to the Arboretum?
Yeah.
Oh, you and me in the Arboretum? Just, we could have some fun with some didgeridoo and some Dungeons and Dragons. And
oh, D&D at the Arboretum?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, of course it would.
Right?
Oh, we've got to do that.
We are nerds.
Well, we just like, we like fun things. We like awesome things.
Yeah, we like to pretend.
I do
we
like.
We have imaginations.
A little bit.
speaking of imagination.
We have imaginations.
No, we should talk about the film that I'm here sort of for.
We can talk about whatever you want to talk
really?
About.
Can we talk about it?
Talk
because
about the
awesome
movie.
Because there's like a jack-off murder and there's a baby with a gun to its head.
What's a jack-off murder?
It's a murder happening while someone's jacking off on somebody, maybe?
Wait.
Onto someone?
Is the jack-off the murder weapon, or is it...
It's near the murder weapon.
Is the person jacking off the murderer, or are they being murdered?
Yes,
or
the person jacking off is the murderer. It's a movie called Dust Up, and actually, it's really...
And it's every time you ejaculate, you're awesome. Murdering millions of potential babies in the eyes of the Lord.
Oh my God, there was so much... I didn't even... It was like a holocaust and a human murder at the same time.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh my God, yeah. My friend Ward, who's right over there... directed it.
Hey, Ward.
He's all embarrassed. He thought it was like an audience thing, so he came to like be part of the audience.
There is an audience. Kyle's here. Annie's here.
Yeah.
Ward's here.
There's three people who are here, and then there's people walking by constantly in front of the window looking at us, and I keep smiling at them. I smile inappropriately at strangers all the time. I can't help it. I'm just like, and then I'm like, oh my God, they're coming over.
Nah.
I wasn't meaning
that. I want to see the smile. So you don't know so me. Like, I'm just
okay.
walking by.
I'm like,
hey, what a lovely, pleasant girl.
I'm just so happy all the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Do people ever mistake that as like, yes. Oh, I should come on to her?
Dudes at bars all the time. I don't mean to. I just look and I'm like,
well, because
last night, this older man in glasses, literally, we were at a bar and he like was over on one side and we did that accidental smile moment. And then he like came over and like was going to talk to me and I totally did the no, no, no. So we went and sat in another part of the bar.
Do you mind if I kill you while I jerk off?
Oh, why do I smile at people? Because guys are conditioned to think that if someone smiles at you, that's saying...
Yeah, that means that you want to have sex with them.
I always assume the opposite. I always
they
assume...
don't want to have sex
I
with
always
you?
Assume, like, no one is... I'm the first to be like, no...
Yeah, we were talking about women and men and like how the cues and these two like we had a 20. It was my friend Tessa and I. I'm 35 and she's 36. Oh shit, I shouldn't say how old my friend is. She's probably gonna punch me. But we were with a 26 year old and a 28 year old dudes, and they were asking us all these questions. And I felt like in The Life of Brian, you know, when John Cleese is like giving the sex.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I felt like we were doing. We were like explaining like. We're like, we don't care what dudes look like. We just want them to be funny and nice and have a conversation, you know. And they're like, nuh-uh. They did not believe us. They're like, you are full of shit.
Well, because young girls want, like 20-year-old girls want different things, I think, than 30, 35-year-old girls.
I never wanted that. Even when I was I always liked I liked Tom York from Radiohead. I was attracted to that. So there you go.
Yeah.
You're attracted to that super talented songwriter?
Yeah, but he's got a
You're so different than all women
eye.
I know. I
he's
just,
got a
you're just.
Eye.
Doesn't matter. You can put sunglasses
What's
on.
What's it wondering?
I don't know what it's wondering, but it's not looking in my direction. God damn it. No,
Would
but like,
you
I
like to
like,
freeze
off the beaten
your
path,
eggs.
Guys. Yeah. He wants to freeze your eggs. What's the song about it?
What's the song?
Yo, Tom York and I are going to form a band called Jesus Come.
Then in a frozen egg, frozen eggs.
Yeah, so I like, you know, I've always liked odd fellows. I never liked we were talking about, it started because we were talking about Magic Mike, and they were like, it's not very sexual. I'm like, no, it's not very sexual. It's more aspirational. Women are like, I want to be in that audience and have Channing Tatum look at me and go, yeah. I did the eye thing with my fingers.
That's it.
Weird, but you know what I mean.
It is interesting.
We derailed.
No, but it's fine. But this is a whole separate conversation. We'll talk about the movie in a second, but this is a conversation that interests me greatly. Which
Magic Mike?
Well, no. No, it was a fine movie. Magic Mike was a fine movie.
Channing Tatum can dance.
He can.
I don't want to have sex with him, but I think he can dance.
No.
He's not my
So friend. if he came up to you at a bar and was like, "Hey, I'm Channing Tatum, and I was just
too
wondering
muscly.
If you would like to
too muscly. I would feel I would feel awkward. I'm like, "You're
But
so
you wouldn't
firm.
Try it just once to be like, "Okay, that's what that's like," and then not date him?
I don't know. Not really. I get attached. I'm not a good serial sex person.
Me?
I have trouble with that.
Neither.
I can't do it. Like, I really tried to be I had a breakup, and I had, like, I'm going to be slutty. I'm going to be really slutty, and I can't seal the deal. I literally, like, get like, oh, and then I'm like, I got to go now. It's I got to be up for boot camp at 7, so I'm going to leave now. It's so bad. I literally, like, I'm like the makeout queen. I'm like high school. I'm like, oh, I can't actually consummate this, but I can find a dead body in the garden, but I cannot have sex with it.
It's weird. I can't. it's weird. I'm sort of the, I think I'm the same way where I just feel,
bump across the table
bam,
again,
I just, up. I would just feel weird about, I don't know why, I just feel weird about it. It's like,
I'm like, I want to know you as a person. I don't want to just like have your penis near me. Like,
We are so different.
Well, technically all of our genitals are near each other in this, we're in proximity.
Cloaked. They're cloaked.
They're just put away. They're in their pants cage.
Oh, I'm glad you have a key for yours.
I refer to mine as a sheath.
My dolphin is not going to bite you because he's sleeping.
Got your nose.
Got your blowhole.
Yeah, I can't. I did try to be slutty, and I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
You don't have to. You don't have to sleep
but
with
I
a bunch of people.
To. Everybody else does it, and I can't.
Maybe people don't do it as much as you think
do they
do.
Just talk about it. They pretend they're really slutty, and they're not. They
some
lie.
People. Some people do.
Are they tall tailors?
Some people do. I mean, I always thought, you know, I'm fascinated by people, the men or women, because it's the same. Like, who can just go out and sort of casually fuck a bunch of people and then just be like, oh, hey, I'm ready to start this process over again.
I thought Harwick was going to go on a tear after Janet, but he did not. Super monogamous. You're lame.
Thank you for that. You've just now insulted both of us. I am your female equal.
No, I'm the same way.
Sure you are.
I am.
Even Daniel Craig.
Well, he's
you
very
would
handsome.
Have sex with him.
If I had to in a situational situation.
If it was him or Attila the Hun, you would definitely go for Daniel Craig. Right?
If I had to be gay with somebody, I don't. Why not Daniel Craig?
He would
Craig?
Give you a yurt, though. That would be exciting. That would be your parting gift.
Daniel Craig or Tom York?
No, Attila the Hun.
Well.
No, Genghis Khan.
The Hun clan.
Genghis Khan would give you a yurt as a parting gift.
I don't want you to feel too bad about this, so take this yurt.
They're expensive yurts.
They're weirdly expensive, but then on the long term, inexpensive.
Because
you're not paying a lot of bills. It's funny when I first started, you know, when I first started dating Chloe, and then she was like, "Oh, I really like you a lot." I don't know. I was like, "Really?" Like, it's hard. I don't know. I don't know why. So I feel like I want to talk people out of liking me. Are you sure?
I talk people into it.
Are you sure?
Time.
There's so many. There's a lot of better
Constantly
people out there.
Talking people into it. You like me, right?
You really like
well,
me.
But
I'm
that's
great.
Sort of the coming at it from the op. You like me, right? Like that's sort of that's
no,
checking
do.
In.
I know, but we're still cool.
This is all about the movie that Ward directed, right?
Yes, this is all because there's a lot of sex in that movie. There is really only.
Do you
a
do
little...
sex scenes in the movie?
No, I do not. But Ward does, funnily enough.
Ward, are you jerking off and killing people?
Oh no.
Oh.
He's getting it.
Have you ever done a sex scene in a movie?
I have. I've never shown anything. Like, you've never seen my breasts.
But you still have.
I have mimed. I once tested for a pilot, and I literally had to go through the contract, and, like, you will show the side of your breasts. You will mime cunnilingus. You will, like, all these things you had to sign off on in order to test for this pilot. That's
a classic mime trapped in a box.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys.
You will mime. Yeah.
I find it awkward, and I don't know if I'd ever be able to do it, because I'd be like, this is...
If I don't have to watch it later, I can do it. I don't like to watch myself having sex. No, I'm kidding.
I don't even take my clothes off in the house. I don't know. I would if I could, I would shower in a bathing suit if I could.
You're a never nude.
Kind of, yeah.
No, I don't
really
mind,
ridiculous.
Like, nudity's fine. Like, I just don't want, like, I don't want, like, somebody looking. I don't want my dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think of it, I couch it in those terms. Like, would I want my dad to see me do this?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
But then there are things like Dust Up where you read them and you're just like, oh, this is like seriously fucked up and amazing and funny. If something makes me laugh out loud, then I want to be a part of it. That's sort of how, that's my barometer these days.
That's what you look for in a project.
Yeah, if it makes me laugh or it makes me cry or it has some resonance of some kind, then I'm like, I'm down. Because I don't really act that much anymore. I'm sort of out of that game.
Yeah.
Sort of retired a little bit. Like when people call and like, then I want to go play and, you know, or if I read something, they'll send me something, read this.
Well, it's a shitty business. It's a shitty process to go through.
I just got tired of chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And not getting stuff for reasons that you have no control over.
Plus, you know, I have a brain and I like to make things and I really enjoy making films more than I do, you know, like being in front of the camera these days.
Because, yeah.
You know, you get your, you know, like when I co-directed a film called Drones that Sam Levine started.
So great. Sam Double M.
Sam Double M. We love me some Sam. Made him go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where we upped the Jewish population by 4. But like to like work on that film and to like have your vision be out there, like and it's not just like regurgitating someone else's words. That was very like it just made me feel like I was doing something with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then like when you read stuff like Dust Up, and you're like, oh, like this, like. This makes me laugh. This is going to be funny, and it's gonna and it says something. It has like a social conscience underneath all the like craziness. Like it says something about society and people and how we interact with each other and about meth and drugs. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of smoking of baby powder. Was it baby powder? No, what was it they were smoking? Oh, baby laxative. They were snorting baby laxative. That's what it was. I didn't have to do that.
But babies get constipated.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. I've never been constipated.
But you have a
well, you don't remember, like but now you don't remember though.
No, I'm pretty sure I would remember that even as an infant.
Jesus. This is the oddest conversation ever.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like because we sort of let the guest direct the conversation's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is sort of the inner working of your brain.
Oh, I'm a sick and twisted individual. I look really cute and nice, and I'm like a gremlin. I look all adorable, but if you feed me after midnight, you are fucked. Don't get water on me either, or come.
Well, okay, let me just boil that down. Don't come on me.
Yeah, just don't come on me. Because I get evil. And I multiply.
What if some guy didn't know that and it hit you and all of a sudden your skin started bubbling and another tiny Amber Benson like shot out?
Oh my God.
The world would be fucked.
One with a mohawk.
What?
Oh, I love that. Can I do that? I would love to do that.
I also love that... Your dad gives you shit about having a baby.
He's desperate for my sister. I want us to have children. He's like, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, having children. You have to do it. He's a psychiatrist. He's awesome. He's Larry David. My dad looks like, you guys have met my dad. Have you guys not met my dad? Oh my God. He looks like he's got that Larry David vibe. He gets into scrapes like Larry David.
Okay.
So he is like a walking episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
and he's always wearing khakis, white sneakers, and a blazer.
Yeah, no blazer. He like wears this red like windbreaker everywhere. It's really cute. And he can't hear very well. He has hearing aids, and so but it's selective because sometimes like I'll be like da 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 penis. Blah, blah, blah. He'll be like, "What'd you say about the penis?" And I'm like, "You were way over there. You have hearing aids."
Wait a minute. You can get AIDS of the hearing now.
Yeah, but it's treatable now.
It's
you can live
cats.
With it.
It's cat. I had to take care of cat herpes.
Cat herpes.
I did. I was cat sitting for a friend, and her cats both got herpes, and I had to.
How?
Because one came from a shelter, and she was fostering it, and it brought herpes into the house, and then the other cat got it. And, you know, the cat only had one eye, so cat herpes is like lung and eye. It's not sexually translated or transmitted.
Now, if this herpes was a sex move, what would it be?
It would be. Yeah.
Oh, so you had to take care of poor cat herpes.
Poor cat herpes. Yeah. Why are we talking about this? I brought this up. I don't know why.
That's all right.
Because of your dad's hearing aid. That's how we got to cat.
How do you battle when your dad tries to use psychological warfare to try to convince you to have a kid? How do you?
I just smile. Usually I'm driving, so I can just ignore him and just smile.
Does he live in town? Or
he lives up north. He lives in between San Francisco and my sister's in San Fran, and I'm here, and so he's like right in the middle of us.
San Luis Obispo?
Wow.
That's Central Coast.
Yeah, it's center.
That's Mike Furman
that's
country.
Middle. That's the middle.
That is where he is.
That's where Mike Furman country is. You've been to the Madonna Inn over there?
Oh, yeah, the Madonna Inn. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you been to the Madonna Inn?
No. Never been to San Luis Obispo.
They have lots of cool.
I just know that it's the middle.
It is the middle.
They do say San Luis Obispo, just so you know.
Okay. I don't say that.
Well, everyone who lives there.
No, that's fine.
Did you say St. Louis instead of St. Louis?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
San Louis.
San Louis. Ooh la la. C'est très beau.
You don't love that show, Louis.
No, that's
it's Louis.
Louis.
Well, but he does spell it L-O-U-I-E.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Louis Prima.
Hey.
Louis Armstrong.
All right.
Louis. Louis.
Sure.
Just going with it.
I love that show so much. I want to be Louis. I want to be Louis C.K. when
he's gonna. He's gonna take a. He's taking a year off of the show too.
Is he really?
Yeah, because he's done three seasons of it, and he just wants to take time off to focus on stand up and sort of build up the.
Yeah, get new stories.
I mean, because my assumption is that the way that show works is that it's his entire year since he does everything. He's got to write it, then they have to shoot it, then he's got to edit it, and then he starts the process over again. And
that's what I want to do.
I imagine that probably takes about 10 months.
That's what I want to do. I just wrote a, this sounds so LA, I just wrote a pilot about myself.
No, but you actually do make stuff, so.
I do make stuff, but I wrote a pilot about my life, about being like in the genre world and kind of trying to escape that trajectory a little bit and also having a crazy, my mom is very interesting. She's my mom and I love her, but she loves to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those. So it's about that and my relationship with her and, you know, being a kid actor and then growing up and yeah. So
is it any kind of gambling or is there a specific game?
She likes the I call them the one-armed bandits, but mm-hmm. No one else does. The slots. She likes the slots because really there's no, it's just pure chance.
Russian roulette.
Yeah, it is Russian roulette. So she enjoys that. So it's always interesting. Like I love her very much, but she loves to like beat the system and whatever she does. And so that always like she likes to sell my stuff on eBay.
Okay.
I was at a book signing and a guy came up and he was like, so I bought the My Little Ponies you used to play with when you were a little girl.
Oh no. No.
I was like, excuse me?
No. Oh,
I was like, yeah,
God.
I bought the My Little Ponies you used to play with when you were a little girl from your mom on eBay. And
that is
holy shit.
That is grosser than like a bucket of week old shrimp.
Yeah, all I could think was like, wow, those are my sisters. Because they were hers. They were not mine. So my mom basically sold this guy my sister's My Little Ponies.
I feel
that
really
she played
awful
when she was a little,
right now.
Yeah. Isn't that creepy?
What is he? Oh,
it's really creepy, right? Oh, you're turning red.
They're so full of his jizz.
We should.
Oh. There's like sprouting up little My Little Ponies everywhere.
They don't
have orifices.
Full.
They are solid.
But their hair is real.
But yeah. So it's stuff
feel
like that.
Good.
You know?
It'll feel good.
Stuff
did
like
you
that.
Talk to her about
That's
this?
Amazing.
Does your dad talk to her about this?
What are you going to do?
Don't do that.
There's no reasoning with that. It just is. So I want to write about it.
Is there any small actor narcissistic molecule of you that's like, I've kind of made it enough that someone wants to buy my, is there any part of that? No. Okay.
No, not about the My Little
Does she throw it up, buy it now, or does she put a reserve on it? What's the deal?
I'm sure it's whatever she can get.
Yeah.
So you see why I want to write about it, because like I need some help. So I have to like psychologically to expel that.
Well, I just bought you on eBay.
Yeah, I just bought you on eBay.
I bought you on eBay.
Yeah, you're like a ghost. You're not.
Bought your frozen eggs on eBay.
Yeah. Oh my God. I could totally do, I could make a lot of.
Sure. And a lot of babies.
Yeah. Wow. I could sell my eggs on eBay.
You,
Tara eggs.
This eBay
is,
would take
this
it
could finance, you could build an eggpire.
I really could. They're just going to find out they're all infertile. They're like, yeah, Amber, you're infertile. We find out because we bought your eggs for $10,000 on eBay.
We'll call it Keep It Amber.
Oh,
and
this is disgusting.
No, we call it Frozen in Amber.
Frozen
in Amber!
We have
Frozen in Amber! It's perfect! It's perfect!
That is amazing.
It's perfect.
It's like with jewelry. It's jewelry,
it's like
but
jewelry.
It's your eggs are in it instead
oh my
of a mosquito.
God. So it's like, yeah. So my eggs.
Yeah, like
in
a cluster.
Amber.
We'll put a cluster of your eggs in.
And then we can just like put it on a.
Frozen in amber.
We have an amber T Rex.
We have a T Rex. Say again.
We have an amber T Rex. Oh my God. Frozen in amber.
Oh, it's so unsettling. So unsettling. That and the My Little Pony. Like, doesn't everyone feel sorry for me now?
I feel.
No, I do. That's true.
Sad.
That's that.
If I were to express how I really feel about it, I would cry for a second.
Yeah.
But I feel.
Then you would laugh.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so creepy. Not only is it just creepy on your mother's behalf, but the gentleman that purchased it.
and then told you about it. If you bought that, wouldn't you be embarrassed to tell anyone that you did that?
Yeah, sure.
When I bought Daniel Craig's My Little Ponies, I was very embarrassed.
Well, Matt would do that.
Yes, I know he
would. I wouldn't buy Daniel Craig. If James Bond used the My Little Pony in the movie, then I would buy one.
If James Bond...
Bridled, not bareback.
Bond, it's a My Little Pony laser.
That was not funny.
It was funny. No, bareback, it was a good joke. Yeah. It was a really good joke.
I like you. You laugh at my bad jokes.
We're all about bad jokes.
We have like the Southern bond.
We do.
The bond of the South.
Southerners are very...
Bond of the South. That was Smokey and the Bandit. Bond. He was the James Bond of the South.
I don't know if the Bandit was... I don't know if Burt Reynolds was the Bond of the South.
Prove me wrong, everyone.
No, that's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Might be. But I feel like Southerners, as much as I make fun of the South and being from there, like, honestly, some of the nicest people... Yeah. In the country.
Also, a lot of the most racist people in the country.
Well, there are some of those, but we have dickheads in LA too. I mean, like, there's dickheads everywhere.
There are dickheads everywhere.
Those are just their dickheads.
They don't have, what did you call, like, the thing you put yourself, forget it.
The what?
the covering of the genitals. What did you call it? Pants cage?
Oh, the pants cage.
The dickheads should wear a pants cage on.
They should have to wear a pants. They do. It's called a hood. And they're in the clan. Yeah. No, but that's a red. Aww. You're like an adorable Sith Lord.
Sorry, Mike. I just poked you with myself.
So where can people see Dust Up?
It's on VOD. It's on DVD. Mm-hmm. It's on the iTunes. Definitely go on the iTunes. I look really cute in it, and I have a baby, which is odd and awkward because it's not actually my baby. It is actually Warden Annie's real baby.
You're already getting your baby into the business.
Mm-hmm. Bo is awesome. She is so cute and adorable, and. I was at a convention and somebody had seen Dust Up and they came up to me and they just wanted me to let Annie and Ward know that, like, it's okay to put kids in films because they came out okay. Because when they were this person, when they were a child, they were the baby in
Ghostbusters.
No, I think it was the dark back.
No, it wasn't the dark backward.
It's the dark half.
Oh, the dark half. Yeah. Stephen King.
It was. Yeah. So they were the baby in that. And they said they turned out okay.
Except that they're going up to people and talking about how they were the baby in the dark half.
Yeah, at conventions.
It was pretty cool, though. I was like, you're awesome.
I know exactly what you're feeling.
All right, upon reflection, not as okay as we thought.
Annie Roberts getting the baby into... Now, how... someone who works at E and sees what being... Oh, sorry. Never mind.
We're gonna cut that
I mean,
out.
Someone who sells E to people.
No!
Annie's...
You know, those are true Hollywood stories.
Very true.
It's a really, it's like a fun, weird, like, it's a grindhouse Western. That is the moniker that it has been given. And I think it's very apropos because there is a grindhouse quality to it, but it's also, it's kind of awesome. We shot out in Joshua Tree and it's got that Western aesthetic, that post-apocalyptic feel, even though it's not post-apocalyptic. It just feels.
It's pre-apocalyptic.
It's pre-apocalyptic.
Like every movie.
Like all movies.
Hey, I guess it's true.
Yeah. And it's going to be the apocalypse soon, right? The 21st? Are we going to die?
No.
No, we're not going to die, but you know.
I was thinking I'd go out in the desert by myself and just drop acid on the 21st.
It's going to be a fucking crowded desert, I'll tell you that
The
much.
Really scary thing is I was reading an interview with a senior official at NASA.
Mm.
And
my cousin works for NASA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She comes out and liaises with JPL.
Well, what's happening with NASA is that people are saying, like, so should I, you know, what's the best way for me to end my child's life first and then mine so we don't have to suffer? And they're like, there's...
What? Oh, that's so scary. Yeah. It's like Y2K all over again.
Well, I mean, those people should end their lives first.
To just clear them out of the...
Yeah, don't worry about the kid. The kid will die on its own. You just kill yourself.
No,
please.
The kid would survive.
Yeah. No, I know, but these people shouldn't be around.
If that's
these people that are believing.
I mean, listen, if that baby from the dark half could be okay.
That's right.
Then any baby.
Then any baby can be all
right. The beauty of it is if we're wrong, you won't be around to see yourself be right. There you go.
That is so unsettling. That's why I'm doing lots of fun things. I'm making things. That way, I will leave something behind after the
Better
apocalypse.
Make a lot of things.
Yeah. I'm making a web series now called Girl on Girl. And I feel like that will be the thing that, like...
What's that about?
Oh, I'm so excited you asked. No, it's about two narcissistic women who are trying to meet men. And the pilot episode is them having a fake casting in order to meet men.
Okay.
And they end up making out with each other in the end. Yeah. It's just.
Is it up yet?
Not yet. We're in post on it right now. But I just was like, there's not a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm-esque stuff for women. Like, there was The Comeback.
Right.
And I feel like Girls is...
Such a good show.
Yeah. But I feel like Girls is in that world, but it's not like that funny world, you know?
Right.
And I love that cringe humor. And that's... I want to do that. Like, I want to make that. That's
something a little more satire than, like, than like a, like gritty and real. Like,
yeah. I like the Ab Fab mixed with the Curb.
Yes.
That kind of thing. And
oh, I agree.
It was fun because one of the girls actually, like, one of the episodes, they take their tops off at a pool party. One of the girls actually took her top off, and I was shooting, I was running one of the cameras, and actually the girl that was our DP for Dust Up, the film that Ward Nanny produced and directed and are part of, she actually shot the web series, but she and I had cameras, and I was trying not to get breasts in the shot. No breasts! No breasts! I was like going up, no breasts! And I was like, no one else in the world has this job. No breasts. Usually it's the opposite. You want to see the breasts. We can't.
Well, I think it's good that, I mean...
But the title's great, right? Girl on
Girl. Girl on Girl, yeah.
Because people think porn, and they click on it.
But also, it's, I think, the sort of, the bigger message is that you're a woman who's making an authentic show.
I think women should own their sexuality. That's why I like the word cunt, because I feel like by saying it and owning it, like, I take back all the negative connotations to it. Like, I have one, and I should be proud of it, just like all women should be.
I feel the same way about the
retard.
Word. No, stop it.
I didn't know where you were going. I just saw your lips forming a word. I'm sorry, I jumped it. I'm sorry, Chris. What was the actual word
Matt's,
you were going
Matt's
to say?
That's from Boston, so that's a. People get mad when you say the R word, but
yeah,
it's like
wicked, retard.
Wicked retarded.
But you, but is
it's just the vernacular from where I'm from.
Is
kids.
There any truth to the fact that? That word is not used to refer to actually mentally challenged people anymore. So is it not? It just means slow.
Well, like some people are offended by it. So
yeah, I got it.
It is what it is.
I've said it and gotten harassed about it. And
I mean, it's
that.
One thing if you say that about someone who's mentally challenged. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. But I just use it to describe my family. But again, that's just my. That's just
cool.
From. That's where I'm from. Yeah. Where I'm from, we would say Boston. That all the time.
Right.
I have friends from Boston. They say wicked. They say the original.
But I always sort of felt like with the nerd word, I always felt sort of empowered about like being able to say it and not be ashamed and be like, I know what I'm into.
When it is like geek chic.
It is.
You know,
daily.
to the point of oversaturation now.
Sure.
And now there's like we got to step away from it and let it kind of
bubble's going to burst, Chris. We better pull back.
No, you don't need to pull back. The show's just so you're good.
Welcome to the Hardwickest. No, doesn't really work as well.
The Hardwickest. He's the hardest wick in town.
Oh, I just that'd be so great if people knew me as that guy. You know
He's
what
the
I'm going to have to do?
Monogamous wick in town too.
I'm just going to start having a boner on everything I do and then eventually it's going to catch on.
You just like do some live streaming of your boner.
Yep, that's it.
Guys, 3 p.m. Pacific Google Hangout with my boner.
People
hardest
must
wick
do
around.
That, right? Right?
Google Hangout with
chat
their
bonus. Roulette.
Sure, yeah.
It's called chat roulette.
You don't know what you're going to get when you chat with
No, you're going to get dicks.
You're going to get a hard wick.
You are.
Sorry, I got to stop saying that. It just sounds good.
Let's light it on fire.
Why would you want to light it on fire?
It's a wick.
No.
I'm not sure about science then.
Oh, man.
So Girl on Girl, when is that coming out?
Soon.
Okay, that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Dust Up. You have multiple books, a new book series you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I always love...
Yeah, we are of the same. We are of the
same ilk of I have to go out and just make a bunch of stuff or I'm going to go crazy.
I'm going to go crazy or I'm not going to be able to pay my bills.
Right.
It's always one of those two things.
It is a financial and also spiritual survival mode.
It's true. I get really frustrated if I'm not doing stuff. Like I have to be making things.
But it's not just that you want to be doing stuff. It's that you want to be doing stuff that you care about and have a hand in, which is slightly different than just I need to be busy all the time.
No,
like
no,
you
not,
need to.
I don't
want to
be crafting. Like I want to be like making things that move me and I'm proud of. And you know, I feel like especially now with like the advent of YouTube and the way the internet's set up, that like anybody can you can put anything that you do out there.
Of course,
have an audience.
There's no excuses anymore to not make stuff if you want to.
Agreed. I mean, it's scary because you know you get a lot of crap that way that you have to sort of sift through. But
yeah.
But it's nice because now everybody has a voice, and that didn't used to be the case. And I think maybe that's also why the advent of the nerd culture sort of rose up when it did, because rose up Hardwick.
Hey! I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah, I go there. My mind is a toilet.
That's fine.
And it does not flush. I had a lot of coffee. Before this.
That's long. Amber Benson. That should be your fucking Twitter description. My mind is a toilet and it does not flush.
I will totally. I'm going to do that. Right now it's something else, but I'm going to change it. My Twitter is now going to be a much more exciting place to go. People are going to be looking for weird things in it.
Like, no, listen. Really, you're in a safe zone here. You can be as weird and filthy. And say cunt as many times as you want, and you will get nothing but love and support from us.
I know, it's really nice here. I don't want to leave. Can we not leave? Can we just stay here all the time?
Yeah, sure. Stay here forever.
I mean, he's probably got a conference call in like 10 minutes, but...
God damn it.
It's in 40 minutes.
Just ruined my whole day, Matt.
I'm sorry. Well, you can come back.
I can come back?
Of course you can. Yay! Of course you can.
Awesome.
Are we still
it gets really male on this show a lot of the time. It? I think we could use more female
of the
perspective.
Three male hosts.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely a female. Last time I checked.
When was the last time you checked?
About 40 minutes ago.
Oh my God, you were in here 40 minutes ago, and your hands are under the table.
I know, I just checked. Okay, still there. Woo!
Still there.
Oh man, that was really making me freaked out. I was worried about that. I was gonna, sexually morph into something else. What is it? What do amoebas do when they become a different?
Or also the movie. The movie with Adrian Brody Sarah Polley.
Yes.
Splice.
Dren. Oh, they tried to make Adrian Brody so nerdy in that, and it just was not happening.
He's one of the sexiest people I've ever met.
Well,
I look at him and you're like, oh no, this isn't, this isn't like Brad Pitt or Johnny. But I worked with him when I was 15 on a film called King of the Hill, and my sister and I were obsessed with him. Like, I was 14, 15, and she was like 10, and he had this bracelet that had people having sex on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he did.
And we were shooting in St. Louis, Missouri. And everyone would hang out in the bar at night after we would wrap for the day. And he would talk to my sister and I. We were
with a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old in a bar. But
it was like a hotel.
But see, from a guy's point of view, I would look at a guy like Adrian Brody and I'd be like, oh, he's got the eyebrow thing and his bracelet has people fucking on it. Why does that work? Like, I'd be super mad and frustrated.
There's just something about him. He's got whatever that thing is, that sexy thing.
Giant dick.
Probably. I never saw it, so I don't know.
I'm just guessing.
I hope you didn't see it at that time.
No.
I hope you did.
He was also nice to us. We were like little kids, and he was like nice to us.
Oh, good. Well, okay, so he was nice. Yeah. Still not a nerdy guy, though, and in Splice, they were just putting like nerdy shirts on him, and we're like, it just nerdy. Doesn't look right. It doesn't look right.
No, he's just not that nerdy.
That's what they say about me. When I put on a nerdy shirt, they're like, this doesn't...
He just doesn't work.
The shirt that is on you is nerdy by virtue of the fact that it is on your body. I mean that as a compliment.
He's like... he's dapper.
We're in a cardigan, everybody.
You're a dapper nerdy guy.
Huge fan of cardigans, by the way. I did not realize they have pockets.
Yeah, right in the
side. Look at this. I can put more stuff in the phone right there.
I do wallet. Like a man who can wear a cardigan well.
I can't wear a cardigan. I don't like cardigans.
I don't know
at all.
That you can't. Mm. That was louder than I thought it would be.
Right now,
or is it fake leather?
No,
that's leather. That's real. He skinned that cow himself.
I did.
I was with him.
I thought it was a kangaroo. Shit.
When I was fucking the didgeridoo. Amber Benson, you are at Amber Benson on Twitter.
I'm at Amber underscore Benson. Because the poor Amber Benson, who is not underscored, has she literally on her thing, it says, I am not the girlfriend Buffy, leave me alone.
So see, she should just give you Amber Benson and take the underscore.
I'm going to follow her.
Ooh. You're going to follow me?
I'm
going to
follow you and the other Amber
follow
Benson.
The other one. I think she might be religious too. She seems very nice.
Let me double follow her.
Yeah.
Just a caller and idiot.
I'm obscene. I like to say obscene things on Twitter, So I think it bothers her maybe a little that she may be mistaken for me or vice versa.
Well, you have to be have your own identity as much as possible. So.
Yeah, I try and move away. I don't want to be her.
Exactly.
Jesus is hers and I'm leaving her.
If she got really filthy, would you go the other way or would you get filthier?
I would be squeaky clean. I would be squeaky clean.
Well, I'm serious.
That was Dominic the Donkey.
That was
the Italian Christmas donkey. Are you familiar with Dominic the Donkey?
Yeah.
That's now a monkey.
We've got to have you come back on and fuck around some more.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about anything. I don't care. We can just...
You can just make shit up.
We can just riff on frozen eggs for an hour.
I want to have my DD, my D&D, my DD. I want to have my D&D cherry popped at the Arboretum.
Your D&D, I want to, that should be on a t-shirt. I had my D&D cherry popped at the Arboretum.
I really
all
do
I think
that.
Of is the
can
Arboretum on the Enterprise D. That's all I think of. I think of where Keiko worked.
Chloe plays D&D once or twice a month.
At the Arboretum?
No, just with some friends. And it's like, it's, you know, she does it the right way. It's like, you know, they play 7-8 hours. Wow. And,
yeah, my friends do it. They,
what's
like,
the wrong way?
The wrong way is, I mean, you kind of, well, here's the only thing about D&D, and obviously you can have shorter campaigns, but if you're going to play,
you should play right.
You should be committed, and it should take a lot. It should stretch out over months.
Exactly
years.
How I feel about Monopoly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. You got to do the auctions. You don't want the property. You can't just say, I don't want to buy it. You got to auction that shit off.
Yeah.
You play, but you play the less fun way.
What do you mean? You mean the proper way?
Yeah,
I play
it's
by
less
the actual
fun.
Rules. None of that free
that
parking
mean that
bullshit.
Fun. Free,
that
parking is delightful.
$200. Ooh, I just
no
I just,
free parking is all
free
of the
parking.
Money
you
that,
can either do $200. That's house rule. You can also do all the tax money.
All the
and
tax
stuff.
Money.
Yeah.
There's just something about this mic that I keep wanting to eat it. I don't know why.
It looks like a giant ice cream cone.
It does, and I keep like getting close to it and touching it. And I'm sorry, Mike.
That's okay, Amber Branson. Branson.
Yeah, but I want
to... Put your mouth closer to me, Amber Branson. I'm the microphone.
I do have my D&D cherry popped at the Arboretum. I think that I'm going to make that happen for myself. I'm going to pop my own cherry.
At the Arboretum.
You can't play D&D by yourself.
Yes, you can, Matt.
All right.
That's what my multiple personalities
are. I can be my own DM.
All right, I followed Amber_Benson. Now I'm looking up this Amber Benson character.
She
and,
seems very nice.
Yeah, that's what you
so
say.
So you can find Amber Benson all over the internets, and if you want to buy her hair, go on eBay.
You want
to
see
what? What of your dad? What's the? Have you talked to your mother? Like, what other things of yours she sold? Or
I'm sure there's a ton of things.
We should find your mother's seller account and then look
Jesus.
At her sold items.
No, I don't want to know what she sold of mine. I'm sure there's lots of weird things she sold. She likes to sell things.
Amber Benson of Dallas, Texas is the VP of Innovation and Development at Agencies of Change, formerly IMC2.
Sounds religious.
Also a writer at Being Spoke. I don't know what that means. Let's read her last tweet, everybody. Here it is.
Oh, no. It's poor woman.
Oh, God. It's Edge Network, so it's going to be a little while. Fill the time.
Okay.
Hey, Amber Benson, I'm your microphone.
Guess what? It's back. I think I could listen to Glenn Campbell sing Wichita Lineman on a continuous loop and be happy. Of course you can, Amber Benson.
Well,
that's about as far to the other side as you can go.
Oh,
to wow. be fair, Matt, that
yeah, go ahead.
It is a good song.
Glenn Campbell is an amazing songwriter.
It's true.
And his brand of soulful country music is
Randy Travis parentheses fully clothed with the Avett brothers on Crossroads, surprisingly well matched. I don't understand what that means. Anna Karenina makes me feel like less of a train wreck. Ba-dump bump. She wrote ba-dump bump.
This one goes out to Amber Benson from your microphone. I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching and searching for another. My little pony that you own.
Get this pants off now.
I want to see you in a sweatshirt. As you play the mystical lesbian.
Mystical lesbian.
So frozen is gonna freeze in my eggs.
When you and your girlfriend are ready for your first threesome, call me.
Amber Benson. Amber Benson dropping.
Wait, was that to me?
Threesome.
Who was that to?
That was Matt.
Nice.
To the microphone.
Kiki, you ready?
Kiki, where are you? Wow, you moved out fast. Oh shit.
That's all right.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay,
my
good.
God.
Oh. All right. This has been fun.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Good times.
Enjoy your frozen egg burrito.
Ow!
Frozen and Amber.
God damn it.
.org.
Oh my god. I gotta get that now.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Whatever your legal document needs, LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more, they've got it. Over 12 years and 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom. Start your business or protect your family today at LegalZoom.com using the offer code Nerdist.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.